Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on social media at JT Literally. We bring on regular business owners like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by Anabots. We build AI with Heart. Our trained AI sales and support assistants work 24/7 to increase sales, reduce costs, and free up your time so you can focus on growing your business. If you want to install 24/7 near human sales and support team in your business, go to anabots.ai to learn more. We do have low cost options to fit any budget. So once more, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Chris Abdi. Chris is a dedicated procrastination coach and productivity expert, passionate about helping individuals overcome procrastination and achieve their goals. With practical strategies and inspiring insights, Chris empowers clients to transform their habits and lead more productive, fulfilling lives. Chris, welcome to BBAI. From your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of your business?
Well, AI has always been a sort of a double-edged sword for anybody who's any kind of a coach, or anybody who's looking into just being some sort of a mentor even. So the way that AI has been reshaping, you know, my business specifically, is that in terms of productivity, it's great. You know, you've got personal assistants now that work 24/7 with calendars. You've got task management systems. You can ask, an AI assistant that works 24/7 for you to, you know, make sure that everything you're doing makes sense. It can put out your content. It can put out your videos. It can edit your videos. It can tell you what you should and shouldn't say. So, I mean, from a purely marketing standpoint, I mean, it's very good. I have to tell you though, from an actual business perspective, though, it kind of gives me a little trepidation, right? Because you're training the AI to basically do everything you do, and teaching it all your tips, all your tricks, all your programs, right? And so, one of the fears that we actually have in our circle, and just coaching and mentoring in general, is that once AI knows everything, I mean, is it really going to, you know, are people going to want to go to an AI, or are they going to want to go to a person, right? So it's a very interesting balance. On the one hand, I'm very excited. It saves a lot of time. It allows me to connect with clients, automated pretty much around the clock. But on the other hand, you know, you want to make sure that you have that human connection too. And so, yeah, I'm very excited, but definitely there's trepidation and well, it goes for any business, right?
You know, it's funny you say once AI knows everything, are people going to want to go to AI, or they want to go to a human? And it reminds me that if you've seen the movie Interstellar, came out about 10 years ago. Yeah. So there's this scene where they have these big clunky robots. One of them's named Case and the other one's named Tars. And so the Matthew McConaughey guy, Coop, he's talking to Tars, and Tars doesn't tell him like exactly the truth. He says, "Tars, what's your honesty rating?" He says, 90%. "Well, why is it 90%? He says, "Well, you know, complete honesty with humans isn't always the most practical or diplomatic way to handle communication." And so it's kind of like sometimes you need to fudge the truth just a little bit. And he's like, "All right, well, 90% it is." that's a fascinating thing is, yeah, do you really want the machines to know everything? Because humans know a lot more than they share, but they have this nuance to it.
That's also a very good point. You don't necessarily want AI to know everything, but it's inevitably going to happen, right? So we just have to, you know, steel ourselves and just reiterate, you know, just how important that human connection is. Even though AI is going to make everything so much, you know, faster and easier, we still need to be behind the wheel as you know, experts on humanity, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it brings up another good point because AI knows a lot of things now. And what happens is everybody's familiar with ChatGPT. And you go and you say, ChatGPT, write me an article about procrastination. And it is going to produce a prime pile of crap for you. And it will be like an amalgamation of cliches and generic quotes and just like the most bland junk that you've ever seen. And the reason from that is because it does know a lot of things, and it's just generalizing all of this different information and saying, is this what you want, boss? But you as a human, you have to go in and refine it and say, well, no, actually, we have to use discernment.
Exactly. And the way that AI is moving right now, it's just going so fast. I was actually sitting with someone yesterday. They wanted to make a video for their website. And so I just went into this tool InVideo, which is kind of like the ChatGPT for videos. And I just typed in one sentence. I said, you know, make this video about this kind of website. And the first thing it spit out was it was passable, but then you had to, that second prompt, you had to actually say, okay, now please remove these images and use these images instead. And then it rewrote the script on the fly. So a video, honestly, that probably would have taken him, I don't know, 9, 10 hours to make manually, AI did it in about the space of about 45 minutes.
Wow.
So it was I mean I'm on board with anything that saves time, but you know, like you said, we really need to make sure that what it's putting out there is useful and relevant to what we're looking for.
So let's talk about specifically procrastination, because that's a four-letter word that we all suffer from that we don't want to admit. But I could go on for hours. Like we could like break out a bottle of whiskey, man, and we could go deep on this. Like I've done a bunch of research, but I want to stay out of there. But I want to know how does AI impact procrastination, good or bad? You know, have you seen any ways that you've been able to either incorporate it into your practice to help people or have it be a hindrance?
Oh yes, I've seen it do both actually. I'm actually a prime example, simply because in terms of AI in the procrastination coaching industry, just being able to give the clients that I'm coaching an application that reminds them what they need to do, when they're supposed to do it, and when they're supposed to start. It's very interesting, and it makes it a lot easier to track things too, because you can tell the AI, oh, it becomes your accountability partner, right? It reminds you, you're supposed to start this, you're supposed to do this. And it's even gotten to the point where with a little bit of training, I can actually tell the app. I can tell the app to, okay, so as they're adding new tasks, the app will ask, okay, you've got this task and this task. These two tasks seem similar. Do you want to do them together? And you know, so it does its own bit of analysis. So in that sense, it's, you know, in that sense, it's pretty good. There is a downside to it that I noticed actually, you know, trying it out on myself. And the downside is that when I was first building it and I was testing it on myself, I tended to let the app sort of make the decisions for me, which is just another form of procrastination, right? Like, so it's like, okay, I'm plugging one hole, but I'm making another hole. So it actually seems like it's going to create a dependency. So this is actually something I've thought about a lot too in my own practices. Do I want to give this tool to people? And do I want to allow them to use it? Because in the end, it's kind of like a crutch, right? But you need to learn to get over these things, and you need to learn the strategies yourself so you can apply them if for whatever reason, you know, you no longer have access to that app, or you no longer have access to the program that tells you what to do, right? So that would be the bad side to it. It's sort of creating a dependency model. And it happens in traditional therapy too. It happens in traditional therapy, traditional coaching. If you do things in, and I'm not going to say the wrong way, if you do things in a certain way, you can create dependency. And that's not what we're going for. I mean, my own slogan is, my job is to put myself out of a job, not, get you hooked so you have to keep coming back forever,
Yeah, makes sense. And so how do we learn more about what you do and how people can connect?
Oh, sure. You can head over to procrastinationstation.ca. All the information is there as well. And that's the easiest way to just learn more and reach out.
Excellent. I'll get around to it someday.
I see what you did there.
I don't know, but that seems pretty far away, man. I got a lot of stuff on my plate. I'm really, really busy these days, you know. It's funny, and I want to say this because I have another podcast called The Do Zone, and it was built for one purpose, to eradicate that one four-letter word, busy. Because when you're busy, it's just an euphemism. It's just an enabling term. You're not actually busy. You're unfocused, or you're not prioritizing your time correctly, or you're procrastinating. And procrastination, I've also heard, is a form of depression. Now, that's kind of getting kind of in there a little deep. I don't know if that's true or not, or if it's just some cool stuff to say, but it is critical that we understand, first and foremost, every human procrastinates. And the other thing that we want to understand is why. And I'm just curious, as we're wrapping up here, Chris, in your experience, why do people procrastinate?
Oh wow, that is a definitely a big one. I mean,
I like to open up big questions at the end, you know?
just for the sake of keeping it brief, I'll do a very high level. I mean, you have your standard, and then just to go back to the depression, I would say that procrastination isn't a form of depression, but depression can lead to procrastination, or it could be a symptom of the procrastination. Which is really interesting because it can be both a cause cause and a symptom. So high level, you have your task avoidance, which can be anything related to traumas, how you feel about the tasks at hand. Are you overwhelmed? You can have fear of failure, fear of success. So some kind of fear, some sort of unpleasant history with whatever you need to do. Or it could just be that it seems like it's too big a task to even take on, right? So you have cognitive overload. You've got again the fears. You've got limiting beliefs. I can't do it. I don't have enough time. There's not enough time. So you really got to dig into the whole package. You have to dig into your mindset. How do you feel about what's your views on the tasks that you have to do? What are your views and how do you feel about them? Then you have to dig into your energy, your vitality. When are you doing these things? How do, are they energizing you? Are they draining you? Then you have to dig. Then once you've done that, you get into focus, like you were saying. Instead of being busy, you actually have to focus, and you get into energy management in that, and how much effort and how much focus are you putting into everything? And then once you've done all that, then you can get to actually sticking things in your calendar and putting them on your task list and separating them out. Because if you don't have that foundation, I can stick things in my calendar all day long. Doesn't mean I'll do them.
Yep, I do that. I do that all the time. It makes me feel better that I don't actually produce results. Great. So for those of you who are interested in learning more and getting yourself into action mode, go to procrastinationstation.ca. Thanks to Chris Abdi for coming on and sharing a little bit about how AI is impacting his business specifically, and how we can get ourselves out of procrastination mode and start getting more things done. So hey, we're going to wrap up from here. If you do run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all experience and exposure to AI so we can represent all voices, especially the 80 to 90% of us who are curious about it, but not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to install 24/7 sales and support team that actually has a heart, for less than 10% of the cost of a single employee, get yourself an Anabot. You can learn more at anabots.ai. We'll see you next time here on Basic Business AI. By the way, if you like this episode, tell your friends. See you later.